Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch. Follow along with the most impactful high school sports stories across the state of Washington on Scorebook Live Washington's statewide website. It covers high school athletics across all corners of the state. We've started a newsletter to make it easier than ever to read. From news, features, weekly rankings, podcasts, highlights, interviews, and more, head to www.scorebooklive.com/Washington on your desktop, mobile device, tablet. Scroll to the right side of your homepage and subscribe by entering your email address to our 3 times a week newsletter. That way you'll get the day's top headlines to your inbox at no charge at all. Scorebooklive.com/Washington. This is Scorebook Live Today, a podcast about high school sports across the state of Washington. The last week of February, regionals are upon us, state hoops is on the horizon. I'm Andy Bueller, Scorebook Live reporter. With me, the usual suspects, Todd Millis, senior reporter in Tacoma, analyst Dan Dickow in Spokane. Thank you for joining me this week, guys. As always, how are we doing?
Absolutely. I'm doing great. I don't know about you guys, but we keep saying it, we're looking forward to the playoffs. Well, the big meat of the playoffs is here. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, we've cleared the decks, man. All that state wrestling, swimming, all the other stuff going on winter, we're done. A lot of stuff that we got done on Saturday. Now it's just basketball for the next 2 weeks. I'm excited to like the rest of you.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun to cover the district title games last week, and Todd, to follow along with your coverage of MAC Classic, I know you went into the Tacoma Dome and emerged 48 hours later with a ton of great stuff on the website that I enjoyed catching up on, not having been there. So check out all of Todd's MAC Classic coverage. It's certainly not too late. Great event that Todd, I'm glad you were at. So we're going to get into this week a couple things. First off, we're going to relitigate our preseason top 10 team rankings that we made before the season started. We're going to have an open discussion about the all-state team race entering the state tournament. And then we're going to give upset predictions for the regional round, which takes place on Friday and Saturday as we record this week. Tons of great stuff up on the site and in the works. Scorebooklive.com/Washington is where you're going to want to find it. One way to stay up to date on everything we're doing, from feature stories to rankings to podcasts to videos, is just to go to subscribe to our newsletter. It's really easy. Scorebooklive.com/Washington. It's on the top right side of the homepage. Enter your email, and it's pretty much as simple as that. You'll need to confirm it within your email, but that way you'll get the day's top headlines delivered to your email for free. That's how I follow along with how everything that Todd's doing, instead of picking up the phone and calling him. But highly recommend that. So let's get into it. Before the season, we published preseason top 10 team rankings for each classification. So now that the regular season is done, districts are done, and we're here looking at the regional round, what did we get right? What did we get wrong? How did our preseason rankings hold up to this point? Todd, you and Freddie Rico, analyst on the girls' side, did the girls' rankings for each classification. Do you want to give a quick rundown of just kind of how well those have aged, or perhaps how poorly?
Yeah, this was a painful exercise, but I think it would be a painful exercise every year. We have to go back to doing our research in the middle of October, in the middle of football season, when it's just tryouts, and now we're looking back and seeing how everything's played out. I mean, all in all, I think our rankings, actually, Freddie and I did a pretty good job. I mean, not to pat ourselves on the back, but there were some things that, you can't predict injuries. I think, you guys would admit that. There were some significant injuries that impacted on both the girls and the boys' side, and it was no exception here. I mean, Meridian being a 7 seed, you know, the Sitma girl got hurt. They were a different team without her. In 2A, it was a weird year in 2A. That was the classification that really kind of tripped us up. We had Washougal number one, based on what they had coming back and the fact that they were the defending state champs. It just never really clicked. They had a nice surge there in the middle of the year and at the end of the regular season, starting out as the number preseason number one. They fell. They went all the way back up to 3 and then didn't get out of a really tough District 4 tournament. Just like I said, it never really clicked consistently with that group for whatever reason. Kind of like Clarkston too with Ashlyn Wallace. We had them as a preseason 3. They fell out of the rankings eventually and then have kind of surged here in late in the year to winning their district championship. I think they've kind of cut Ashlyn Wallace loose as a scorer, and that's been a big reason why. And then WF West being our fourth team in 2A, they went through a coaching change. They went to more of a deliberate style of play that's been kind of hit or miss, but they're in the regional round, so it wasn't a complete wash. Then having Wapato at 9. 3A, the only one that you look at, and it was kind of a nod to them winning the state championship, and their tradition was Prairie being the fifth team in the state, acknowledging that they lost everybody but the Corral girl at point guard. Again, had a great year. They won the GSHL I think Halo Corral did as good a coaching job as anybody, in 3A, to be honest with you. Given the fact that they lost so many players, and they're going on to regionals. They're going to play Garfield in the loser out game this weekend. And then 4A, Eastlake, the defending state champs, they had two really good players coming back in Keely Burton Oliver and Haley Heward. Figured maybe they would find some guards on that team. It never really materialized. They made a run in their district tournament, and then were bounced out late. So that was one we missed on. And then a couple teams that maybe Dan can knows a little bit about in the GSL. We just picked the wrong 4A GSL team, Dan. We had University at 6 with 4 Division I players. I mean, I don't know where else we would have ranked them. Again, it was a team that was sort of it was sort of an enigma. A team that had a lot of lost leads in the second half, a lot of meltdowns. And a lot of that had to do with their defense. And didn't get out of the district round. And then obviously Gonzaga Prep at 9. Olivia Mayer had another serious knee injury early in the year, her third one, unfortunately. And then, we just picked the wrong team, And gosh darn it, I have Freddie Ricco on my side, and CV never came up in the conversation. I don't understand how that works out.
That's so funny you mentioned that because – Freddie, though he's no longer coaching, he's kind of he's still involved in that community out there. He's a huge part of what we do here at Scorebook Live. He's continued to say, you know what, there's a culture of winning at Central Valley, regardless of sport. And, he doesn't want to give himself credit for what he's done there, but he's done a pretty darn good job of implementing a culture of accountability, work ethic, and competing to win at Central Valley Girls that, 2 years later is still very present. So he did say a few times to me when we've had conversations, hey, I don't want to go on record early in the year and say that they're going to be good, but you know what? I believe in these girls. He really did think that they were going to have a nice year.
Respect there to Coach Rico. So, Todd, that's great. I mean, did you get through every classification? I mean, do you kind of feel good about where we're at now, kind of looking back?
Oh yeah, I feel great. Yeah. It's always nice looking at all your misfires, from October in the rankings. That's probably why, we don't play the state.
Yeah, no kidding. The misfires seem to hurt more than than when you hit the bullseye. So we'll take a look at the boys. Just going to start with, I felt like the state preseason rankings for 1B and 2B were pretty spot on. The teams that we felt like were going to be good were pretty much good going in. So I'm just going to start with 1A, where I actually think that this one is the most skewed, just because, you know, you have teams that since the state tournament seeding is based on RPI right now, as we're looking at it, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, how the teams are seeded for the regional round and for the state tournament. And you have Kings playing a loser out game with 10 losses. And I think Kings is a team that can compete for a state championship. I think we could all agree that they're a shining example of a team that's good enough to win one. They're sitting here with 10 losses and they've got to prove it this weekend. But they scheduled tough, and they took lumps. I mean, that's kind of where the RPI fails teams at this time. And at 1A, you kind of, if you're a coach, you kind of have to make that decision of like, are we going to schedule really tough? Are we going to bet on ourselves and bet on the fact that if we challenge ourselves, that'll pay off when we get to the state tournament, versus is this tough schedule going to hurt us in the RPI and hurt our chances and put us in a bad spot? So I think Kings can kind of get out of a pinch, but they were a preseason number one pick. So sitting here with 10 losses, personally, I'm surprised. But I think that if we talk in 2 weeks from now, after it's all said and done, they could make a deep run even as, a pretty high seed. So, or a 14 seed, I should say. So, respect to Riverview OMAC, Bellevue Christian, for securing top 8 seeds, because we missed on you in the preseason at 1A. Every one of our top 10 teams is actually in the state tournament. So I think for the most part, we got that right. Zilla at 2, they nabbed the 3 seed. We had Seattle Academy at 4, and they had a terrific season. I'm working on a story on those guys right now. Leo DeBrol at point guard and Jordan Cookson at shooting guard. That's a team that's legit. You know, I would say they're probably in the conversation. So outside of that, I mean, at 1A, I felt pretty good about how we did, Dan. 2A, I could say the same, except for we really slept on Toppenish. I mean, those guys made a heck of a run, and they waltz into the postseason with a really high seed. They didn't sniff our preseason rankings. So kind of think that Columbia River was at 7 may have been a little bit overrated based on how they performed and just how well the SPSL and the EVCO did. I mean, Tumwater out of the EVCO, Black Hills, and then SPSL, Lindbergh and White River with the 4 and the 5 seeds. Really good regular seasons. So hats off to them. We had Sela at 3. Sela lost a lot, and they brought back Noah Pepper, who we're going to talk about all-state candidates in a minute here, but Noah Pepper's had a fantastic season and will be certainly in that conversation. But Sela enters the week at, I believe, don't have it in front of me, but Sela kind of underperformed that 3 seed just because of how much they lost. Burlington Edison didn't make it out of their district tournament, which is just really, really tough with the amount of burst that they get. But 1 and 2, North Kitsap, Linden. I mean, Dan, when you see North Kitsap and Linden as our preseason 1 and 2 and see them both as top 3 seeds coming into the state tournament, that's got to make you feel good.
Yeah, I think a lot of it goes down to, you know, Andy, you've got a good pulse on the state. Obviously, you and I both talk to a lot of coaches throughout the year. I talk more player-related a lot of times as opposed to, you know, team-related and big-picture stuff. But we were right there with those teams. I mean, Linden at the 2A level, Linden Christian at the 1A, that area of the state has as good a youth basketball programs and buy-in from community about, hey, we want our kids to play. We want them to play the right way, and it just kind of flows all the way up through from youth into high school. So the kids are kind of geared up, ready to take advantage when it's their opportunity. And North Kitsap, you know, texted throughout the season with Coach Ornes, and, he feels he's got a special team. They've got a chance. Granted, he understands, he knows they got a lot to do to finish the season off, but he's liked their team from the start.
Yeah, and that's a team that, you know, we talked about Lindbergh and potentially missing on them in the preseason, and Lindbergh beat North Kitsap in the district title. So the Vikings head in as a 3 seed, which they're in good position and certainly have the talent. Working on a story on them ahead of state. And just the way that, the players around Shaw Humphreys, who was the league MVP for that team last year, have really stepped up, including his stepbrother, Kobe McMillan. But you know, North Kitsap's in a good position heading into this state tournament. And what's funny is that throughout the after our preseason rankings and the first couple of coaches poll rankings, I was talking to Brian Roper, the head coach at Linden, which I mean, Linden's been as good a program as there is across the state, as you mentioned, Dan, and they lost pretty much everybody. You know, they brought back their sixth man from last year in Brock Heppner, and yet coaches were still picking them to be the preseason number one. I believe, yeah, they were the preseason number one. And I remember early in the season, Brian Roper goes, "Man, you gotta those coaches. They don't know what they're talking about putting us up at number one. Like we're just not there yet. And if they weren't there yet, then they were pretty darn close. And the way that they clicked as a unit, guys stepped up into roles. Leon Hannenberg, 6'11", just has had a tremendous year. Linden sitting here at the end of the season." As the 1 seed heading into the regional round, that's exactly why coaches pick them as the preseason number one, despite losing their entire starting lineup. So coaches know what they're talking about, and you know it serves us well to listen to those who are plugged in. So jumping into the 3A rankings, felt like obviously the mainstays every year, O'Day, Garfield, Eastside as our 1, 2, and 3. Feel good about that, despite kind of the order there. We had O'Day as 1, Garfield as 2, and Eastside as 3, where Eastside's had a great year. They come in as the top seed, and if I would venture to say they're the favorites right now, although a lot can change. They've beat O'Day 3 times now. Mount Spokane at 4, Ingram at 5. The tough part about Ingram is just the circumstances that they've gone through with the back injury that kept Mitchell Saxon out of most of the season, and an eligibility case that sidelined transfer point guard Maui Zay for the entire year. I mean, he wasn't able to play in their playoff run, so they had to kind of make do without their 2 best players, and were knocked out in the district round. But shout out to, I mean, Kaz Collins just had a tremendous season, and players stepped up around those 2 guys, even when Saxon came back. So a little bit of circumstance there. But Kamiakin and Evergreen, 2 teams that were not in our top 10 that Dan, heading into this regional round, are, I think the stock is trending upward. It put together really tremendous seasons.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think, you know, there are certain pockets of the state that are always hard to gauge. And that, to me, is the Tri-Cities area. And then that center pocket of the Yakima area. And because, I hate to say it, it's just isolated. You know, you'll go, you'll see teams at team camp or a big tournament, either at Gonzaga or a big tournament on the west side, or you talk to those coaches. A lot of times those teams don't make it to those events. And so you're kind of questioning, you don't know, maybe you're hearing things on teams secondhand. But those 2 teams were pretty darn good. I talked to Coach David Wagenblast at Mount Spokane the other day, and he said, you know what, both those teams, were very good throughout the course of the year. Obviously, they lost their first game in the district playoffs for District 8 at the Toyota Center, but he said they were physical, they were dominant, they were physical, they were skilled. They didn't back down. They had a great scouting report. And then Mount Spokane lost the first night. Second night, they came back with something to prove and to punch their ticket to the state tournament. But, those are, unfortunately for fans across the state, many times there's question marks early in a season or leading into a season. But I think both teams kind of answer those throughout the course of the year.
No question. And later on, I'll elaborate a little bit more on Kamiakin and one of our topics that we'll get to in a moment. But here's the classification that was kind of the most cringeworthy looking back at our preseason, and that's 4A, which I would, if I had to give a thumbs up, thumbs to the side, and thumbs down on assessing our preseason rankings, I'd probably trend more toward thumbs down here. We had, you know, Mount Si is the top team coming in. Mount Si, you know, certainly has had a good season and is a contender. But, you know, Union at four, Union has been the clear number one throughout the season. And I remember talking when we were putting together these rankings and calling around coaches. I had talked to a bunch of coaches, but Blake Conley was not one of them. And so I had kind of said, like, hey, how do you think – we got you, like, middle of the top 10. Like, is that – do you think that's fair in your honest opinion? And he just goes, Andy, I'm going to be honest, we're really good. And so he's not necessarily a braggadocious type of guy, and he wasn't wrong there. But you know, we slept on – Glacier Peak is a team that put together a really nice season out of the Wesco. And Dan, like you said, another pocket where, you know, they have an exhaustive league schedule and not as many opportunities to see them play, you know, other teams from around the state. But really, and would love for you to speak to this, Dan, is the rise of Central Valley this year was not in our preseason top 10 rankings. CV has put together a tremendous season with Jace Simmons leading the charge as kind of controlling the tempo from the point. But Coach Mike Laws, I mean, you gotta take your hat off to the job that he's done this season as they enter the state tournament as a four seed.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think, you know, first on the Glacier Peak is, you know, we held media days in a number of different places across the state. And I'll be honest with you, not a single coach mentioned Glacier Peak. So what they've done has been, you know, eye-opening. And congratulations to them being undefeated up till this point. That's awesome to see. You know, but in regards to Central Valley, you know, I had heard from a number of coaches in the GSL that, hey, you know what? These guys are really good. They're coming into their second season under Mike Laws. Where, you know, he had been an assistant under Rick Sloan for years. And so many times it takes a little bit of time to kind of find your niche as a coach and your philosophy. And I tell you what, he has sure done a heck of a job because everybody on that team has bought in. I saw them at Mount Spokane earlier this year, and they were very connected. Defensively, they had a really good game plan. They executed it. And they know who they are on offense. They don't get outside of themselves. Gavin Gilstrap, a big on the interior, you know, he's good, but he's not dominant by any stretch. But he's big enough that you have to honor it, so they give him enough post touches. And then Jace Simmons, his numbers don't jump out at you, but when you watch him, he's always in control on the offensive end. He understands how to get guys into offense. Maybe he doesn't shoot it as well as, you know, maybe you would want, or maybe he doesn't break you down and come up with seven assists a game like many people would expect. But he controls the game. And then defensively, you know, outside of Nolan Hickman in the games that I've saw this year, he was the best perimeter guard defensively that I saw.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and I got a chance going back. I got to see Glacier Peak on Friday. Just a program that's kind of been a mark of consistency and has really put it together this season. A lot of what we're saying now could change. I mean, teams could come on strong late, but as of now, it's an interesting thought exercise, and we want to make sure to give credit to you know, the programs that we may have overlooked heading into the season. All classification, all state teams will come out. We are starting to have those conversations. At this point of the season, they'll come out at the end of the season after it's all said and done. But right now, just now that we have a few days without games, I'm glad we're kind of taking the chance to assess what the first team all-class, all-state team is going to look like to this point. So I think we're all in agreement that there are four guys who are locks if we're going to choose, regardless of classification, a five-player first team. And that's Tanner Toulson, Paolo Banchero, Nolan Hickman, and Caden Perry. I would pencil Tari Eason at Garfield in as a fifth, but let's open this up for discussion because there are a lot of good players across the state who have put together great seasons for teams who have achieved success. So who stands out to you guys as players who would kind of be in the discussion for that fifth spot? And just to confirm, are we good with that top four?
No, for me, I think that top four is hands down the guys right now. It'll take some monumental efforts by players over the last four games or so of the regular season or the playoffs to knock any of them out of the spot. But I think the two guys that are kind of battling for that last All-State spot, in my opinion, regardless of classification, would be Tari Eason at Garfield. I saw him earlier this year at Garfield when they hosted Nathan Hale, and he was an impactful player. He got steals at the top of the press. He finished. He was a willing passer at times. My question was, like, how hard does he play at all times? He had some really exciting plays. He had some really high IQ plays, but he also had a few head scratchers. That makes me think, where is his focus at all times? But you know what? He's been playing really well as of late. If Garfield makes a big run in the state tournament, he could nab that last spot or even overtake a guy. I think the other one for me would be Tyson Degenhardt, Mount Spokane. They struggled a little bit down the stretch of the year. They lost in the districts down at the Toyota Center in Tri-Cities. They did lose to CV. They lost to Mount or to Gonzaga Prep this year. But his numbers are off the charts, 25 points or so a game. If Mount Spokane's going to have a return to the title game in 3A, he is going to have a big state tournament. He's going to have a big one. There's no doubt about it. And they start right off the bat with Eastside Catholic. And JT Tuolumalu, the big fellow, is going to present a heck of a challenge. And if Tyson can be the best player on the floor that night, Mount Spokane will win. But that is a tough ask, being that Nolan Hickman is the point guard for Eastside Catholic.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched enough boys basketball to have an opinion. I agree with you, Dan. I mean, if I had to slot somebody right now as a favorite for that fifth spot, my vote would be for Tari Eason as well. Watched him in one of their wins against Eastside Catholic, and he did play with a lot of energy that night. Obviously, it was a big game at Eastside Catholic. I don't think many people thought that Garfield was going to go in and beat them on their home court, but they did. Again, he does a lot of the little things that don't necessarily show up on the box score, but he's had a nice season with some of the discernible stats as well. I think he's their best player. They beat Eastside Catholic twice. They're certainly in the thick of this. And I know we don't talk a lot about them. I know we've been very Eastside Catholic and O'Day-centric when we've talked about the Metro League, and rightfully so. But, I mean, Garfield is quietly, if you can say that, they quietly have had two wins over Eastside Catholic. I know they haven't beaten O'Day, but they've beaten Eastside Catholic. It's been one of those kind of years in the Metro League, and Tari Eason would be my pick. But there's a couple other guys on the west side that I think are right there. I watched Jade Mullinton. It's actually two guys from the same game and at the MLK tournament at the Showwear Center here in late January. And I continue to be impressed with Jade Mullinton. I like the way he plays. He hits big shots. He's a pretty good defender. If they need some size, if they need somebody with bulk to go down and defend somebody on the low block, he's kind of the guy. He's kind of their strong, even though he's only 6'4" or so. He's not the biggest guy to go down there with 6'7" or 6'8" guys, but he asks for those assignments. So I like Jade Mullins. I know Mount Si had an early loss to Union, got bounced out of their district tournament, but I still think this is the team. If somebody's going to go out and beat Union, I think this is the team we all need to watch out for. And then if you want to look in small schools, and I know Andy's going to laugh at me on this one, but I tell you, I watched him in the summer, and I was like, hey, who's this kid that everybody keeps talking about from Kings? He's kind of big and, a good athlete. You could tell he had great footwork, very skilled. And then when I saw him play against Mount Si in this MLK tournament, the Linda Hart kid has been, he was the best player on the floor, bar none. I mean, he was... He had 29 points. He was 10 of 13 from the floor. He was, you know, he's crashing over people on the inside. He was making threes. He plays with this sort of aggression that you really admire. He's nasty, and he's only a sophomore. And I know better days are ahead, but I tell you, I got a glimpse of what his ceiling can be, and it's pretty high. I'm looking forward to seeing him in Yakima. Like you said, Andy, I think this is a team, even with 10 losses, can be a real big factor in the 2A championships in Yakima. I think we all can agree on that.
Yeah, and there will be no laughing from me on Tyler Linhart. He's certainly you know, had a real coming out party at the state tournament last year as a freshman, was unstoppable, made it to the state semifinals, and then cut 35 pounds and just got a lot better, made a big jump from his freshman to his sophomore year. So he's a name that you'll hear in years to come. He'll be a Division I player. So a lot to keep an eye on, and some of these guys, I mean, say Liam Lloyd's a name that we haven't mentioned in that last spot. I mean, Liam, according to the story in the Spokesman Review, after that district title game where Gonzaga Prep beat Chiawana, the MCC champ, twice to shut him out of that berth at a District 8, win the District 8 second berth, and Liam Lloyd did it by, you know, 30 points. He's really, really stepped it up this year, and everything that Gonzaga Prep has done has been on Lloyd's cadence, taking a step up into a role that there were some questions about how he would feel losing Mr. Basketball and Anton Watson and company from last year. So Gonzaga Prep is playing really well entering this tournament, and if Liam has a big state tournament, his name is going to be in that conversation too.
Yeah, and he's playing the best basketball of his career right now. You know, I talked to Leon Rice, the head coach at Boise State, just about everything in regards to, you know, college basketball, and then our connected network. And Tommy Lloyd is Liam's dad, obviously an assistant at GU. And, you know, Leon basically said what he has seen from Liam over the last, you know, latter part of the year, because Leon keeps an eye on Washington State High School hoops. He's obviously got a commitment from Degenhart and stuff. Is what he has seen is a commitment to doing the things that lead to winning. And in the past, you know, many guys at the high school level early think that, hey, I got to score 20 a game to get looks. And then they realize, you know what, if I score 19 a game or whatever it might be, but I get the extra deflection on the defensive end, or I rotate and take a charge, or I grab a big rebound. Those are what separates good from great, both individually and team-wise. And that was a unique perspective to hear from Leon Rice in regards to Liam the other day.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, my pick of somebody who could play their way into that first team in the next 2 weeks. And we'll get the opportunity to see him against the best on Saturday. I'll be there at Battleground High School as they get a rematch against top seed Union. And, you know, Tanner Toulson and Liam Lloyd going at each other in the postseason, sign me up. So check in with us in the coming weeks for our all-classification, all-state teams. We'll do them for each classification as well. Those will come after the season, as well as our ranked top 50 boys and girls players across the state of Washington. So looking at this weekend, now that we've got this big picture stuff out of the way, we've talked about which teams from over the course of the season have played well and surprised us. Let's focus on the regional round, which takes place on Friday and Saturday. Half of the games are winner to the quarterfinals, and both teams advance. Half of them are loser out. What is one upset when you guys look across all of classifications, boys and girls? What's one upset that you're going to predict of a lower seed beating a higher seed this weekend?
You know, I'll jump in really quick. You know, and I did sing some praises to Glacier Peak earlier in the podcast, being that they're undefeated. But I've talked to a number of coaches in that South Sound area, and they talk about how difficult those leagues are, the NPSL, the SPSL, at the 4A level. And I'm going to go with Auburn over Glacier Peak. I had a chance to have Ryan Hansen on the podcast last week, and he felt really good about where his team was at. He said they've continued to improve throughout the season. He really likes the growth of his young guys. I believe the names Watson and then the young guard Arrington continue to improve. And regardless if it's high school or college or pros, you got to have good guard play in the playoffs. And I just got the sense from him that he really liked where his team was at.
I like that pick, Dan. I watched Auburn run into that really weird 2-1-2 zone that Sumner runs in the district tournament, and their young guards didn't respond to it. But I like Malik Arrington a lot. I think he's one of the really rising sophomore point guards around the state in terms of underclassmen. But I'll give you a few games on the girls' side. And I know we talked about some upsets. We've also talked about some games that intrigue us. And there's a couple 3-6 matchups I'd like to point out. Can I say 3-6 matchups if it's not NCAA tournament? I can say that, right? A couple 3-6 matchups that really, really intrigue me. And it's the 3A level is Arlington and all those guards and the way they press going up against a really big, young, skilled team in Lake Washington with the two sisters, Sydney and Elise Lonnie. Elise, a 6'4 sophomore, really good volleyball recruit, is a surprisingly really nimble athlete and good basketball player. And then she's got a sister, Sydney, who's a ninth grader, who's going to be, watch that name over the next few years as a 4-5. She could develop into being a wing. But they're going to be pressed and they're going to be harassed from baseline to baseline by a really good Arlington team that was really, really good this summer. The two teams faced each other in the summer and Arlington won. They're going to face off in this regional matchup with Arlington being the 3 seed and Lake Washington being the 6 seed. And the other one I like is Tumwater as a 3 seed against Port Angeles as a 6 seed. A good matchup there of guards in Aubrey Amendola from Tumwater, a team that likes to get up and run. And then Port Angeles has a point guard who's a really good soccer standout, Millie Long, and is as good a defensive guard as you're going to find. And I've heard this a lot this year about soccer players being really good defenders, about being able to follow the ball and their footwork. And you hear this a lot from coaches. My best defensive player is a soccer player, and it's no exception there at Port Angeles with Millie Long. My upset. I'm actually going to be on the good side of Glacier Peak, Dan. There's two upset picks I want to make. Glacier Peak going to Spokane as a lower seed and beating the GSL champ Central Valley Bears. I don't know if Central Valley has enough offense to keep up. I think it's going to be an entertaining game over there. I know our Freddie Recco is going to be up at University High School to watch that. And then the one that I, from my neck of the woods, I'm picking Union to beat Beamer, a 7 seed beating a 2 seed. They played in the district championship game last week. I know you were there, Andy. Union played them tough. Leah Alexander at Beamer's is an all-state candidate. She's had a fantastic year for her dad, Corey Alexander. But I'll tell you, I like Mason Oberg. I love the way she plays. She looks healthy to me. She can really shoot the three. I like that team to go in and beat Beamer. Both of those teams obviously have already clinched spots into the Tacoma Dome as well.
Yeah, I like that pick, Todd. They, Union defended Alexander really well for a half, and then she just killed him in the third. So I'm sure they'll be looking forward to that rematch. But man, you spend the first part of the podcast building up CV only to tear him down in the predictions. It's brutal.
Yeah, what can I say, I'm a friend at the first half of the podcast, and I'm a foe by the end of it,
Yeah, exactly. What's the saying about you either die a hero or live long enough to become the enemy? My pick is going to be 6 versus 3 in the 3A. I have Kamiakin over Marysville Pilchuck. Kamiakin's got to hit the road and play this game at Jackson on Saturday, and MP is a team that, halfway through the 3A Wesco league season, they were sitting there tied with some good teams. And MP really came on strong in that second half and kind of played some good games at home and are a talented team. You know, Cameron Stordahl leads the charge, has some state tournament experience from last year. But I really like Kamiakin this year to play spoiler. They're big. They've got a big guy in Kyson Rose who really kind of makes things go for him and had a good game against Mount Spokane. And just the pieces around him. I mean, Messiah Jones, Woodley Downer, some of these guys that you'll remember from the football season on that good Kamiakin team. This is a young team that's big, they're athletic, and I like their makeup and how it fares for them this state tournament. I think that starts this weekend. They're my pick. And I guess I'll throw in, I think 7-seed, I'm going to go out on a limb, guys. I think 7-seed O'Day is going to beat 2-seed Wilson. So that's going to be the upset of the year on the boys' side.
Are you serious? Is that where you're going with your sarcasm? Really?
Since we didn't mention it at the top, there's some RPI flubs on what constitutes an upset, but O'Day beating a 2-seed Wilson, I would not constitute as an upset, as I'm sure neither of you would. Although I think that'll be a good game. I'm excited to see. I saw Wilson last week. Damani Green played fantastic, and they won the district title. We'll be excited to see how they fare. So one intriguing game. We picked an upset. Now let's just pick one game before we get out of here. What's one game that you guys think will really go down to the wire and that will be ones to look out for this weekend?
Go ahead, Todd. You go first.
Oh, I thought I said – I already talked about my intriguing games. So you remember those 3-6 matchups I talked about? Arlington Lake Washington girls and then the Tumwater Port Angeles girls. So I don't think I need to recap that. Let's go right to you there, Dan.
For me, I think the intriguing matchup is going to be Mount Si and West Valley. Mount Si, we've talked about them throughout the year. Great backcourt. West Valley is kind of that unknown in Yakima area. Logan Kinlock's a good shooter. They got some good size. John Kinlock, their coach, is very high IQ guy. So we'll see how that goes.
I like that one as well. My choice is at the 1A level. We get Zilla and Lyndon Christian at Davis High School. Zilla gets to play in front of probably a very pro-Zilla crowd. Lyndon Christian hits the road. Are they the Lyndon Christian of last year with Cole Bajima? No. But these teams could have faced last year in the state playoffs had Lyndon Christian not gotten upset by Kings early on. So this is a really fun, I believe it's a 6-3 matchup. Here heading into the regional round between two dynamic offenses. Lyndon Christian's got a great trio of shooters in Bryce Bauman, Andrew DeVries, and Jaden DeBoer, as well as a really sound, fundamentally sound big man and Zach Sitma down low. And I mean, what more to say about Zilla? They bring back several key pieces from a team that really won the state championship convincingly and added a transfer in one of the top scorers across 1A in Mason Landeck. So expect a really high scoring game. I'd love to see OT out of that game. So that's my choice. Be sure to subscribe to the Scorebook Live Today podcast if you enjoy listening to us yammer on about high school basketball, high school sports across the state. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can subscribe for free. Get each episode downloaded straight to your smartphone, tablet, or whatever device you use to listen to podcasts. Spotify, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, I should say, Google Play are a couple examples. So thanks for listening this week. Look forward to covering games this weekend. Scorebooklive.com/Washington is going to be your home for all of that. We've got bracket breakdowns, predictions, everything you'll need entering this week of the state basketball playoffs. Thanks for listening.